Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main jet.
Echo Station 3TA. On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that crossfire, boys. Right now, I feel like I take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 165, recorded on December 16, 2018. We're nearing the end of the year. The holiday season here at Echo Base is always kind of festive. You know, snow's falling, temperatures are dropping. Can't we put the Christmas tree up, though? We put trees up with lights, and, you know, lights are things that, you know, enemies can target it on, so we can't really get too festive outside the base. But, you know, we're having a good time inside here. Just keep the heaters on low, and we'll do our thing. With me tonight is Tim. Tim, how are you?
I'm good. I just came in from building a snow wampa.
Ooh, awesome. What do you do? Do you put a carrot in the nose for that, or what do you do?
Yeah, carrot for the nose and just one arm, which makes it way easier.
Awesome. You don't have to find two of those, you know, bent up twigs and stuff. You just put one on it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So we should probably get right into it. We have a lot of stuff. We've been kind of on a sporadic schedule here for the last couple of weeks, and we are, I was going to say back on track, but probably not really back on track till after the first of the year, just because, you know, things get kind of hectic here at the end of the year with the holidays, but we are excited about all the stuff we have to talk about this week. So in the news, there's been some celebration news. We are fast approaching Star Wars Celebration Chicago. We're, you know, 4 months away now, I guess, so we are eagerly anticipating what's going on there. But they've announced some news about some authors that are going to be joining us at Celebration. We have Delilah Dawson. I'm happy about that situation. That's good to have her there. I think Tim, you'll be happy about this next one. Tim Zahn will be joining us.
Yeah, I'm happy about them both. I love Delilah Dawson, and she has a great social media presence. And I like her work as well. She did such an incredible job with the Phasma novel. And of course, Tim Zahn, I'm totally thrilled about because of Thrawn. In fact, there's a new book that's announced. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, very happy with that.
Awesome. Claudia Gray will be there as well. She's done some good stuff. She's done some of the young adult novels that we've had recently. And she's got some great stuff that I've enjoyed. Even though it's young adult, I seem to like her stuff really well. So I'm happy with her being there. Katie Cook is going to be another author coming to Star Wars Celebration Chicago. She's doing a book called Search Your Feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know much about that one. I don't think that was discussed at the Star Wars author panel I saw at New York Comic Con. Do you know much about what that book is about,
Tim? I do not.
You know, okay. I don't know if there's anything that was released yet or not. See, we have Alexander Freed. He's doing the Alphabet Squadron book, which we did talk about at a recent episode where I covered that from New York Comic Con.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
That should be fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one as well. That should be really pretty cool. Caravan Scott, Adventures in Wild Space. Again, know nothing about this book coming out or what it's to me take on, but I'm glad that we're going to get some more discussion about this at Star Wars Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, we have Jeffrey Brown, Darth Vader in a family coloring book. You know, those two different things, Tim, is it Darth Vader a family coloring book, or is it Darth Vader and a family coloring book?
That is one thing. That is the name of the book, the Darth Vader and a family coloring book. So when you consider that Darth Vader has a pretty big family, the Skywalker lineage is rather significant. So
you just don't think about Darth Vader as kind of a family man, though. You know, it's
well, you know, he's got a couple of kids. He had a wife. She died of a broken heart, sadly.
Yes, she did. Let's see. There hasn't been a lot of other stuff announced for Celebration. They've been getting all the things have closed off now for different submissions for either fan tables or the podcast stage, which unfortunately we did not get a slot. I was kind of bummed to see that we did not get a slot for the podcast stage. They said there was a lot of people participating in that, so slots were limited.
Yeah, that's a bit of a bummer.
Hopefully next time around we can get our presence there. But unfortunately, we will not be podcasting from the podcast stage at Star Wars Celebration Chicago.
at least for now. I know last year there were some kind of late changes because someone couldn't make it or they rearranged schedules or something, and they're able to include some folks. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty much a 99% thing that we're not in it, which is a bummer. But a number of us obviously are planning on being there as attendees, and we certainly look forward to not only the con, but also seeing a lot of our fans and talking to folks.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a great place to interact with all of our listeners that are going as well. We've met some great people in the past conventions, and I'm sure that we'll continue into the future. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and we'll probably do some spots while we're waiting in lines and, you know, just kind of wandering around the floor and such. So if you see, you know, a couple of bald guys that really look alike, or someone who looks exactly like Eric, several of our other hosts, because I know we're going to have a lot of folks there. If you see us walking around, you see us with a mic, you know, jump in, say hi, and we'll probably put you on a podcast.
Exactly. Be good times for everybody. Let's see. We have some Mandalorian news in the last couple of weeks here, too. So, Tim, why don't you bring us through the Mandalorian stuff that's been announced right lately?
Yeah, so there's some rumors continuing to be kicked around about the series. Again, this is the Disney Plus series, live action. The most recent rumor is that this is going to be set around 5 years after the events of Return of the Jedi. So they've said before that it's going to be before Episode 7. And now we know kind of in a relative sense how much before Episode 7. Mm-hmm. So about 5 years after Return of the Jedi, and it's going to be set in the Outer Rim. And there's one article I was looking at that basically said, hey, the Outer Rim really doesn't care whether the Empire exists or not, because they were largely left alone and able to do their own thing. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of a sense of disorder and lawlessness and, you know, a lot of flexibility in those types of things. So I think that makes for a really great environment that they can really kind of do anything in.
Yeah, I'm glad they're doing it that way, too, because I think that's going to be key to this thing being its own, you know, its own thing.
Yeah,
that they don't have to worry about fitting themselves into a box to make sure they don't, you know, interfere with this storyline or that storyline.
Exactly.
They're out in the space where there's nothing else going on. So
yeah.
While we may see some stuff that is tangential to what we already know, I think it's going to be widely, you know, doing their own thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the time frame that it's set in and the location that it's set in gives them a lot of opportunities to develop things, like you said, without interfering in anything else. And it kind of makes it a little bit timeless. I mean, yeah, we know that there was a second Death Star that got blown up, but we haven't had the third Death Star get blown up yet. So we're just kind of in this spot, and no one in the area really cares what galactic politics look like. So I think that just leaves things open for a great adventure series and some good character development, that kind of stuff.
Right. And they're going to really dive into the Mandalorian side of things, too, which doesn't have anything to do with what we see in the galactic, you know, empire.
Right. So there were some official casting announcements. Some of these we basically suspected because they were rumored.
Right.
But it was confirmed that Pedro Pascal from Game of Thrones will be playing the Mandalorian, like the Mandalorian, the lead character.
Right.
They also confirmed Gina Carano from Deadpool.
Now, you know, I was going to make a joke here, Tim, because you had her in here and you have in parentheses Deadpool, and I know that's where she's from, among other things. But I was like, oh my God, Deadpool's going to be in the Mandalorian?
I would pay to see that. I would absolutely pay to see that.
No, I think she's going to be a strong casting choice, and so I can't wait to see her in the show and see what she does. Because she's a good physical actor. I mean, you know, she's done some good stuff.
She used to be an MMA fighter.
MMA fighter, yeah.
Yeah.
I think her first movie was Haywire, which is pretty much, you know, hands-on stunts and everything. That was great.
Yeah. Also, another athlete that a lot of folks are familiar with, Carl Weathers, who was a football star, but also was in Rocky and Predator.
He was in football? He played football? I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for the Raiders.
Really? Cool. Yeah.
Nick Nolte, who obviously has a variety of credits. Folks are probably familiar with the name.
That's one I scratch my head over. I don't see Nick Nolte in a Star Wars role, but hey, you know, we'll see what happens.
You know, I don't either, but we'll see what they do with it. And he's pretty notable. I mean, he's one of the top names on this list.
In stuff I've seen him in the past, I mean, he hasn't really done anything lately, but you know, he's got some good stuff to his credit. But
yeah,
every time I think of him now, I just think of those wild-haired mugshots.
Yeah,
when he's been arrested the last couple of years, like, oh my god, what happened to Nick Nolte? So
yeah,
I hope he's got it all together, and I hope he does something really cool with this.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Nick Nolte's been arrested, and he gets a job with Disney. But James Gunn said some stuff a number of years ago, and he doesn't have a job, huh? All right, that's my commentary. Yeah. Giancarlo Esposito from Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. Werner Herzog, which like has a lot of people scratching their head. Older guy, most of the stuff that he does is in producing and directing. He does have some good acting credits, but just very interesting choice to have him on here.
I don't think I've ever heard his name.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around for a long time. He's, like I said, he's an older guy.
Oh, I recognize the face. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Emily Swallow from Supernatural and Omid Abtahi from American Gods. So that is the list that has been announced and confirmed by the good folks at Lucasfilm Disney.
Yeah, and I'm glad it's coming out slowly. I don't want to know too much too soon because we're not going to get this until late 2019, and we're only in late 2018, so we got about a year to go. I don't want to know too much about this yet. I'd rather find this out as we get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Some news here on Resistance. We talked a few weeks back about some social media faux pas from somebody who's doing a voice, Rachel Butera, who did the voice of Leia in Resistance, has been replaced. Carolyn Hennessy is replacing her.
Yeah, so
I don't know much about what else has happened with this. I know Disney's kind of kept this just kind of, let's just make the change and move on.
Yeah, very quiet. There really was not any kind of announcement that came from Lucasfilm or Disney on it. They just did it. Mm-hmm. And while Rachel Butera was announced early on, in fact, before Resistance came out, as being the voice of Leia, she had her social media thing that she did several weeks ago, which we, I think, spoke about at length a few mm-hmm. episodes ago. And since then, we never heard anything. And the character of Leia had not yet come up in Resistance. So I believe Leia just came in the last episode before the midwinter break.
Mm.
And so she came in and surprise, she was actually voiced by Carolyn Hennessy. So the assumption is that they revoiced Leia because I'm sure that they had the production either done or very close to being done by the time all this happened with Rachel Butera.
Yeah. And it says in the article you posted here, Tim, it's not the first time she's done Princess Leia. She actually voiced Leia in Lego Star Wars All-Stars.
Oh, okay.
So.
Which is a current thing. So mm-hmm. basically you have one actress who's doing the same voice for two different shows at the same time. So that's cool.
Yeah, very cool. Let's see. Star Wars Resistance is running a series of 12 short mid-season break episodes. I am not familiar with this, Tim. What have they come up with here? Because I know we're on the break right now, right?
Yeah, they just did their last show before the mid-season break, I think mm-hmm. last weekend. So they're kind of slowly releasing them on YouTube, these shorts.
Okay.
And they did their first two episodes. So I don't know if they're going to do two at a time, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, each week or something like that. So they're just a few minutes long, you know, fun little thing, just like they've done with a lot of their other shorts, focusing, you know, one short will focus on one or two characters in a particular adventure that they go on. And yeah, they're not bad.
Okay. I mean, I am still about two episodes behind in Resistance. Are you? How are you enjoying the series so far?
It's okay. I think I'm actually around the same place that you are with this. I haven't. Mm-hmm. I'm not completely caught up on it. It's kind of just starting to get interesting. There are some tropes in it that I'm not a huge fan of, but I also mm-hmm. understand that this is really geared toward younger audiences, and we're talking
it is.
Younger than Rebels was. In fact, Rebels seemed to have a lot of adult themes.
Mm-hmm.
And so even mm-hmm. though kids could enjoy it and it had a softer animation style to it than, say, the Clone Wars did, Rebels was very relatable, I think, across a lot of audiences. Resistance, to me, seems to be a little bit less relatable to older audiences, and that's at least to me. I know a lot of folks are really, really into it and very much enjoying it, and I think that's cool. By all means, do so. I'm not against it. I'm just saying it's not really lighting my fire.
Yeah, I'm probably, you know, I enjoy it. I'm behind on it. And whenever I'm behind on a show, that usually signifies to me that, hey, I'm not real anxious to watch the next episode, so I'll watch it when I can.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that says, well, you know, I'll get to it when I can because it's not on top of my, oh my God, I'm so into the show. They've done a good job with it, and it's getting more interesting as they go along, but it's still, like you said, Tim, it still feels very young. And I'm sure it's, you know, hitting a home run with the younger crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what they're going for, trying to build new fans up, which I think is great.
Absolutely.
But I just wish there was more of the Resistance being shown, and we're locked in this one little station. And it's like, okay, what else is, I mean, it's all about them and the pirates so far. Right. I'm not really seeing much about the Resistance itself. So
yeah, totally agree.
I'm hoping they grow more. I know they're still just finding out the characters and kind of growing into them. So that'll happen. It'll happen with time.
Yeah, and they've really just started introducing First Order characters and that kind of thing. So, you know, we'll see what happens maybe in the second half of the season.
Okay. Now, I am not up to date on my Family Guy stuff, but I guess there was a character that Carrie Fisher was voicing, and I guess Family Guy has kind of laid her to rest now and moved on. Which I think is good. I mean, it seemed like they did it the appropriate way. They buried her and gave a eulogy for the character and just kind of moved on. So I think that's a good thing for way to have to pay respect, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, the character's name was Angela, who was actually Peter's boss at the brewery. And she would appear, you know, a few times a season. She had been on there for the last few years. And I think it was really cool that Family Guy decided to do this, kind of, you know, really paying a lot of respect to Carrie Fisher. And of course, it gives an explanation as to why the character of Angela is no longer there. Not that Family Guy has ever been concerned with continuity or canon or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was very appropriate. And yeah, it was Peter who kind of gave the main eulogy. And it was all very tongue-in-cheek, but it was still very appropriate.
Yeah, I think it was funny. You know, as you go through this, I guess Peter was doing the eulogy. He's like, I'm sorry death is hard for me, but at least Angela died doing what she loved. Swimming less than 20 minutes after she had eaten. It's a real thing, kids. Listen to your mothers.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, doing what she loved, swimming. Okay, that's awesome. It was fun, and yet I think gave a good ending at the same time to it. So
yeah.
Let's see, books and comics. Tim, now you had mentioned this earlier in the episode. We're getting a new Thrawn book.
Yes, we are.
From Mr. Zahn. This will take place before Rogue One, mm-hmm. and it's going to feature Krennic, which I think is awesome. I don't think we had enough out of Krennic in Rogue One, so I'm kind of looking forward to getting this stuff here.
Yep.
Eli Vanto is also going to return in this.
Which is good. So we saw Eli as kind of the a sidekick, mentee, junior officer. I mean, there's a lot of words, I guess, you could kind of use to describe him. But he kind of became the counterpoint to Thrawn in Zahn's, the novel Thrawn, which was the first canonical Thrawn novel.
Right.
And Vanto turned out to be a pretty cool character and ended up getting his own assignment, his own ship, that kind of thing. And so we didn't see him in The second novel, which had Thrawn paired up with Vader and did the time jump thing. A lot of people are really happy to see Vanto returning in this. And Tim Zahn at Dragon Con kind of teased this a little bit. He said, yes, expect to see Eli Vanto return sometime in the future. He didn't say what he was doing with a book. He just said this was a planned thing to happen. So it's after sitting in Tim Zahn's panel and hearing him say this, which of course, you know, big room full of people, everyone cheered because Vanto really was a very likable character.
He was. He was kind of dragged along with Thrawn too. I mean, he was kind of there with Thrawn. He wasn't supposed to be there, but he was the translator, I think, right in the very beginning.
Yeah, and he really became the kind of the Watson to Thrawn Sherlock,
right? And then not seeing him in the next book was like, oh, okay, kind of a letdown.
Yeah,
and you know he went out to do something else, so this is good. We're getting that.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. Actually, I don't know that we named the book. It's going to be called Thrawn Treason.
No, which, I didn't mention that. No.
Yeah, and that leaves a lot of folks wondering, speculating, who will be the treasonous person? Is it going to be Vanto that's going to be treasonous? Is it going to be Thrawn?
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know. I mean, I can speculate either way and kind of cope with the story in my mind of how that could play out, but
yeah,
nothing would be as good as what Zahn's going to give us, so I'm not even going to try.
Exactly. I mean, if this is before Rogue One and it features Krennic, we can assume that this is... Well, it has to be before the end of Rebels.
Right.
Because, of course, the end of Rebels, spoiler if you haven't watched it, but Thrawn and Ezra get sent out into the unknown regions or something. So it has to take place before that.
Mm-hmm.
So
and we know that Thrawn was against, you know, big super weapon type stuff. So,
yes.
You know, is he treasonous that he's going against with the Admiral? I mean, they've already speculated about that a little bit. That was already in the second book a little bit and elsewhere about his, because he was the, what was his pet project?
The TIE Defenders.
TIE Defenders, that's right. I was drawing a blank on the name.
Yeah.
Which always bugged me because I'm like, okay, this giant galaxy-spinning empire can't support two projects? a Death Star and a fighter? Really? You can't do both?
But budgets are very tight, Lou. Very tight.
I guess they are.
It'll be interesting to see exactly when it is. I mean, is it going to take place during Rebels?
Mm.
So, you know, are we going to get a sense that there are things going on that we saw happen or heard about in Rebels? You know, when and where is this going to be? Who's the treasonous person? There's a lot of questions.
But again, it's such a big galaxy. I hope it doesn't cross paths that much with what we know about Rebels. I mean, make this totally separate. Make it its own thing because there's too much of that really tight-knit, close galaxy. I'd rather have this spread out a little bit
and
give us some new stuff totally. So that looks like a lot of fun. That's set to release in July 23rd to be exact, of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that. I'll have to wait to see when Audible puts it up for pre-order because I will pre-order it as soon as it's there.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. The Star Wars Archive books are coming out. This is the first one to be covering episodes, 4 through 6?
Yes.
And this is a coffee table type book, right?
This puppy weighs 13 pounds.
Ooh, we're paying by the pound, are we?
Yeah, I think so. it's actually published by none of the current publishers that do Star Wars books. In fact, really? I hadn't heard of the company before. It's called Taschen, TASCHEN. I don't think they've ever played in Star Wars before. And this is hefty. They actually got access to, this is basically a making of type of book. So, you know, as they're showing some of the pages, you see a lot of storyboards, you see a lot of Ralph McQuarrie paintings. There's stuff in here that is fairly original. And in fact, the author, Duncan is his name, he actually got 3 days with George Lucas.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean, three days with George. That'd be something to do.
Like, that's incredible access. Paul Duncan, and he's actually a film historian.
Okay.
So, yeah, he has what they're calling an exhaustive collection of behind-the-scenes interviews, pictures, concept art, and script pages that charts the course of production for this first three Star Wars films and the sometimes messy development process that generated them. So it really does seem to be a very cool behind-the-scenes look.
Huh. I mean, you know, every time when these things comes out, I'm always kind of skeptical because we've had them before. We've had things like this where they all feel somewhat the same.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you really sit down and read through them, you know, a coffee table book's a coffee table book. But, you know, how many of us really sit down and go through every one of these things page by page by page? And if it's nothing really new and earth-shattering, you're like, well, do I really need to spend the dollars on this? And this one's not going to be inexpensive. This one's going to be about $200.
Yeah. This is a book that's kind of an investment in your passion for Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's going to be part of the collection. You're going to have to, you know, do it if you really collect all these books. But I'm just wondering, it's like, okay, at least it's a set time frame. It's not all of Star Wars. Because, you know, you buy the Star Wars Encyclopedia now. Well, in 3 years, when there's two more movies out, you're going to have to buy it again.
Yeah.
You know, this one is just on episodes 4 through 6. So it's definitive. And I hope they do more. I hope they do ones for the prequels. I hope they do ones for the sequel trilogy. Just, you know, put them together in the same format and fashion. I think it'd be really, really fun.
Yeah. And presumably for them to do those other films, sales would have to be good on this book.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hopefully they do well. The release date on this is set for April 2nd, 2019. So if you have a birthday, you know, in the second half or so of next year, or maybe you put it on next year's Christmas list, or if someone wants to buy you, you know, an early it wouldn't be an early Christmas present. You'd have to wait for it. But I'd be down with that.
Would you?
I'd be down with
that. Okay. I'll keep that in mind. I'll put it on my list for you, Tim.
Thanks, Lou.
See what I can do. Okay. Where are we at now? We're into other news here, Tim. So,
no, one more. We have a comic.
Oh, a comic. I'm sorry. I totally went by that.
Yeah.
Vader, Dark Visions has been announced by Marvel. New limited series beginning in March 2019. And, you know, anything Vader tends to just sell. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
This is what, the third new series of Vader stuff since we've had the, you know, the new canon.
Yeah. And this is, and we're not going to get into the whys and wherefores of all this, but there was supposed to be a limited Vader series that Chuck Wendig was writing. And when Marvel discontinued their relationship with Chuck, which we spoke about a few episodes ago, apparently that entire series was then scrapped. So they basically canceled that series. And then, you know, several weeks later, they announced this series. So, you know, we take that for what it's worth. But this is still going to be, I think, really interesting. It says it's a, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it says it's exploring a new side of Vader that fans have never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the cover of the first one, I'm kind of scratching my head, Tim. I don't know if you've seen this. I'm sure you have, but it's Vader on well, not horseback, not Tauntaun back, but something that he's riding.
Yeah.
With a shield, a round shield that has the Imperial logo, COG logo on it, and his lightsaber. I'm like, I never thought of Vader riding a horse.
The birds that are in the background flying over him, they look to have two heads.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
It's like if you put Darth Vader into Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I was thinking like something with, you know, hobbits and stuff in it, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and we don't know exactly what the content's going to be. That's just our impression from this first cover.
Exactly.
The writer of this is Dennis Hopeless, who wrote Cloak and Dagger and the Jean Grey series, a limited series. So, Yeah, you know, it looks to be pretty interesting. And like you said, the Vader stuff always sells like hotcakes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's always good storylines, too. It's always good to know more about the Dark Lord.
So. Yeah.
Let's see. Next up, we have Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order from EA. New game coming out. Now, we've been kind of skeptical on games in the past. I don't think EA's got a great track record. We do, yeah. So this is a third-person adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place, 5 years after Revenge of the Sith?
Yep.
And it'll feature a Padawan who survived Order 60. How many people survived Order 66? This was not a very well-executed order.
Well, I mean, my take on it is that there had to have been Jedi, Masters, Padawans, Knights, etc.,
mm-hmm.
scattered all around the galaxy doing different things that may or may not have been associated with the Clone War. And so you figure some had escaped, and there have been storylines about, you know, Vader or Inquisitors or whoever having to hunt down Jedi. So I always find it to be an interesting story, but you're right. It's kind of become...
It's become its own
trope
thing.
Of itself. Yeah, right. That kind of takes place within that time period.
And it just bugs me because when you know, and I know it's not canon anymore, but you read things like the the Darth Plagueis novel, and it shows how intricately he wove this whole thing together over many, many years to put himself, Palpatine put himself where he was and what happened, and then to find out this last thing just didn't really work out all that well. It's like every time we turn around, there's another Jedi here somewhere else, another pocket of people that, ooh, this guy was force sensitive or this happened. And
yeah.
How did that escape him? He had everything so well lined up.
I mean, you figure all the prominent Jedi, most if not all of the Masters and that kind of stuff. Well, most of the Masters we know were wiped out from Order 66. So I think it was a pretty high percentage. It was probably, what they would deem to be fairly successful. They knew they would have to do some mop up afterwards.
Yeah, I suppose. I'm just being more critical than I should be, I guess.
Yeah. So, as you said, this one features a Padawan who did survive Order 66, who, by the way, is not Caleb Doom / Kanan, who we know from Rebels.
Right.
Someone else. There is a rumor that it may involve the Night Sisters. Or one Night Sister, or several of them. We don't really know. Okay. So this is just kind of early stuff. Actually, very early stuff, because we're not going to see this for like almost another year. It's not coming out until November of 2019. They're looking to have it out basically the holiday shopping season next year.
The end of 2019 is going to be a really exciting time. There's a lot of stuff coming out.
Oh, yeah. We're going to see a lot of Star Wars.
The whole Disney Plus thing coming out and everything they've got going on for Star Wars, as well as games like this. And it's going to be 2019 is going to be packed. I think I can't wait because we're going to get a lot more detail about this stuff at Celebration, I imagine.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like the idea, the premise of this game. Again, EA has had stuff that does and doesn't work out. I don't know that this is going to be any kind of an MMO. I don't know there's room for it the way that they're talking about it.
Right. And I don't think we need an MMO. I mean, an adventure game, I think, is good. And you can play through a storyline and get this kind of stuff. And I know that's not what's popular these days. It's not what's making money. But I think it's what Star Wars fans want. They want to play through a story. They want to immerse themselves in this. And we don't have a good MMO to do that in. Do it in a game. Do it in a standalone single-person game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd totally fine with something that can be played offline, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Tim, did you get any new winter wear recently? Any gear up for the winter and new coats and stuff or anything? Did you?
No. I'm pretty good with what I had last year.
Because, a friend of mine texted me week or so ago, 2 weeks ago. Hey, what are you doing today? I'm like, I'm working. What do you mean, what am I doing today? He's like, hey, check out this link. He sends me a link to Columbia Sportswear selling it's a recreation of the jacket that the Norwegian crews used during Empire Strikes Back.
It's pretty sharp.
It's awesome. It's this blue parka. With the fur and everything, it looks really good. It has Star Wars logo on the sleeves and some other colorings on it. Looks really awesome. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool, And the link he sent me had a countdown to when the things were going on sale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, so it's pretty big going on sale, you know, a certain time, and like, you know, 12-hour countdown, whatever it was. I held it to the price, it was $500.
Yeah. That's hefty.
And at first I'm thinking, like, so okay, I mean, a good ski jacket somewhere is gonna cost you, you know, three plus probably in most cases, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, like, this isn't too far out of whack, and some of the proceeds are going to charity, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Mark Hamill has an education charity that some of this is going to.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, I couldn't justify myself, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go check it out just to see what it's like. And my buddy really wanted one, so I'm like, you know what? I'll go online at midnight when this thing was going on sale and see if I can get into the queue and get him one if he can't get in and get it. At least it would double his chances, right? So we're kind of texting back and forth. I'm waiting for this thing to go on sale, counting down. And I figured at the midnight mark when the countdown ended, it would just the screen would change, or you'd refresh the screen, it would change to a new thing to order the jacket.
Right.
No, the page just disappeared.
Oh.
I hit refresh and the page was gone. I'm like,
oh no.
What do you mean? And I'm like, okay, so now I'm searching for Star Wars on the Columbia website. Nothing came up. And I'm texting him back and he's like, no, I lost it too. Nothing came up.
Oh hell.
I'm like, okay, well, it must be, you know, just traffic and problems. And okay, well, and for me, I was like, okay, well, I didn't really want to bother myself. So, okay, no, not a big deal.
Yeah.
He stayed a while longer trying to get in there. He's been an hour, I guess. He couldn't get in. And the next morning he had emailed them and he got an email back from saying, yeah, demand was higher than we expected, which, you know, Star Wars stuff is limited edition. I'm surprised that they didn't expect it to be higher demand, but
yeah.
It sold out quickly online. Columbia sportswear stores had this in certain locations, like New York City was one of them. Big city stuff had them. But then they apologized for the website problems. But I think to myself, we didn't even get to a screen you could actually click on to say, you know, buy one and have it fail later. The site just disappeared. I was like, wow, that's really. And they apologized and everything else, but nothing else you could do. So I guess they are all sold out online. I don't know if any stores still have them. Some of the major, I think it was like 10 different locations would have had them around the country. New York was one, Chicago was one. I think LA had some other big stores. But if you're lucky enough to get one, you know, wear it in pride, because those things are going to be pretty cool and pretty exclusive. I don't know how many they made, but they were pretty sought after pretty quickly. There was also a couple editions that you had to buy in a store. You couldn't buy these online. You had to buy them in a store that were signed by Mark Hamill.
Mm.
And those are going for a little bit more money than the $500. You paid a premium for the signature.
Well, and remember that it was also Columbia, I think maybe last year, who had the Han Solo parka from Hoth.
Oh, did they? I didn't realize that.
Which was obviously a limited thing, and that sold out in like 7 minutes or something. It was nuts. And I think they had one or two other things in that run. Of course, when things sell out, we should always go to eBay and see what's on there. And so these actually came packed in a really cool box. They were nicely folded inside the box. It had a case, which was black and had the gold Star Wars, you know, like title lettering on the front. And we have prices on eBay ranging from $660 to $1,500. Oof. Yeah. A lot of them are sitting around $800-$900. Yeah, you've got buy it now is at 1,000. You have ones lower that are still up for bid. So yeah.
And you know, I mean, I don't know. If you buy them just to resell them online, I don't know. I know it's a market. I know it's a thing that people do, but to me, it doesn't feel quite kosher. You know.
Well, yeah, and it's unfortunate that people basically do this just to turn a buck. Yeah. And know that they can basically get twice the price for it. And, you know, we know that people do it with Black Series figures and other collectibles, that they're there the day these things release. They swipe up as many as they can, and they're not even collecting for their own purposes. They're just reselling them, which is a really big bummer. I mean, I don't begrudge anyone who's trying to make a buck, but also when you have someone who genuinely wants something – and they're either not willing or not able to pay anything more than retail. I don't know.
Well, to me, it's a shame when things like this are being purchased just for speculation, just not to put it away for 20 years and sell it.
Yeah.
But to flip it right away. I mean, you're getting people that are making more money than the average retailer would have made on it. I mean, markup on clothing is more than on some stuff, but it's this guy buying it and flipping it's making more money than the store did. They had to
absolutely
hire people, pay insurance, pay electricity, and bring it in. But these kind of things are cool to see, cool to see out there.
Yeah.
I'm dying to the point where I see somebody wearing one the first time, and I bet we're gonna see somebody wearing this at Celebration Chicago. Because I was thinking, unlike Orlando and LA, where it was kind of warm, Chicago could be kind of chilly in the beginning of April.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You might want to have one of these jackets. Yeah.
So. Absolutely.
But that is cool to see it went out and people were getting their hands on them. So I'm dying to see my first one out in the wild.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned black figures a minute ago, Tim, and I had some. I'm supposed to be Christmas shopping for other people, but I keep coming across black figures. I'm like, oh, gotta get that.
Oh my gosh. So you had a heck of a deal. Totally accidental, I believe. But you got at Walmart, right?
Yeah. So I'm in Walmart and I hadn't seen anything on the pegs lately and there was not much around and went into the one I normally go into and I'm sure I see the six or seven figures swinging on the pegs and the same ones have been there for the last few weeks. And I'm like, nothing new. And I'm looked up top. You know, they stack overstock on top of the rack. Look, I'm like, there's more black figure box up there. I'm like, and I'm tall enough, I can reach up and grab them. So I pulled down the first stack of four. And I'm like, these are all the new ones. This is the new wave. And I was like, there's four more in the back. Grab those.
My guess is that someone was saving them for later and probably stuck them up there.
No, it looked like it was like they were stuck up there from like, how some stuff is like just kind of hidden up there. Some stuff is like, this is overstock. It looks like an employee probably put them there. To me, it looked that way because it wasn't like they were just kind of hidden. They were just stacked right on the edge.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was hiding something, I'd hide it in the back or actually I'd go to a different department and hide it there. But anyways, I would never do that.
No, never.
So of the eight figures up on top, seven of them were new. I'm like, this is like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, it's Christmas. I really don't want to spend the money on, but I know if I don't get them now, I'll probably never see them again. So, let me get them. So, I go up to the register. I'm in the self-checkout line. Just getting the first one, put in the bag. Just getting the second one, put in the bag. Third one, it brings up for 3 cents.
What?
Of course, the first. Yeah. So, first I'm like, I kind of looked around, like raised my hand, like, what are you doing? Just put in the bag. Just put it in the bag. Like, okay. Next one scans, 3 cents. Put in the bag. Next one scans, 3 cents. Put in the bag. I'm like,
that's crazy. So
of the seven of them, three of them scanned for 3 cents. I'm like, Walmart, I've given you enough money. I'll take this from you. If you're going to price them wrong on the computer, I'll take these three from you. So I got those three for 3 cents. And it was the most recent wave. I haven't actually even updated my database yet, but got those three. And then the other day, I was out yesterday, 2 days ago, and I saw Forlom, which I hadn't had before, so I got that one now. Yeah. It rounds out the most current set. And then yesterday, I went to the Disney store. I hadn't been in the Disney store for a while. And at first, I was kind of bummed. I'm like, why is the Star Wars stuff all the way in the back corner now? That's just wrong. Shouldn't be tucked away in the back corner. And sure enough, they had Zuckuss, who is exclusive for the Star Wars store.
Nice.
And they had the battle damaged Phasma.
Phasma, yep.
And they had one other bigger one I grabbed. I can't remember what it was, tell you the truth now, but I was happy to get all three of those new ones. I'm like, okay, more than I wanted to spend on myself for Christmas, but happy Christmas to me. So I'll take those. Whenever I get Black Series figures, it feels like a win. I'm like, yes.
Sweet. Well, especially for those prices. That's fantastic.
The 3 cent ones really helped out. That was nice.
You can't knock that. Thank you, Walmart.
Exactly. Okay. Let's see here. Tim, where did you find this story?
Which one?
The Sarlacc pit.
I have Star Wars on a couple of email listservs, and that's actually how I build our show notes, and it ended up in there. So this is kind of a cool, fun fact thing. Apparently, the largest cave ever discovered in Canada was found not too long ago. And because of the look of it, they call it the Sarlacc's Pit.
Nice.
So I think it was pretty cool. No, it was apparently like accidentally discovered, I guess.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah.
No, where is this in Canada? Did you have that information here?
Oh, you know, we're going to have to look through.
Because we have some Canadian podcasters here. We have to send somebody out to check this out.
Yeah. This is a Wells Gray Provincial Park, which I don't know what province that's in.
Further investigations into the cave are expected to last into 2020.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
British Columbia.
Okay.
There we are.
We're going to have to send either Fred or Andrew or both of them to go check this out.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want live reporting from inside the cave.
Is it dark in there?
Bring a flashlight. Okay.
Are you being slowly digested?
Over 1,000 years. Okay.
Have you found Boba Fett?
Or if you get his armor, just bring the armor back.
Yeah. Yeah. These are the questions I want to know.
We'll make sure that gets answered for you, Tim.
Yeah.
Okay. Netflix is getting a Star Wars story, Solo, in January.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it yet, you know, if you've been waiting for it to come on Netflix to stream it, you'll be able to see the Solo movie then.
Yeah, starting January 9th.
Right. At the same time, they're losing Rogue One.
Yeah.
No. I think Solo is the last movie that Netflix is getting, right?
Yes. Yeah, we're kind of...
That's the last one in their contract.
Yeah, we're coming down to the wire on the Disney contract with Netflix. So, along with Solo coming out on that platform, we're also going to have Ant-Man and the Wasp. And that's pretty much it, at least from those two franchises.
Was that a Star Wars movie?
Marvel.
Oh.
But also owned by Disney, you know.
I was just surprised that you were mentioning Ant-Man and the Wasp so prominently, Tammy. Are you becoming a fan?
No. But,
okay.
You know, I report on the news, Lou, even if I don't like it.
I'm just goading you, Tim, you know.
Uh-huh. We have a tragic story here, Lou.
I saw that. Tim, this is horrible. Why would you bring us this kind of bad news?
Yeah, I just don't know. This is... Who would do this? So this
We don't know yet.
No, we don't know. The perpetrators are still at large. So what happened here, this occurred at the San Clemente Concordia Elementary School Library. This is in California. They had a collection of 125 built Lego kits. This is over 100,000 pieces of Lego.
Wow.
And apparently there was a vandal or a group of vandals that broke into the library at some point and smashed them all.
Oh. Why would somebody do that? I mean, I know vandals are vandals, but... You know, this seems like a personal attack almost.
It really does. I mean, I don't know.
It's not like it broke in and spray painted lockers or, you know, tore the door or, you know, tore down a trophy case or something. This is somebody's memories, really, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they must have been seriously pissed about getting a bill for an overdue book. No, it really is horrible. I mean, this is something, like you said, it's something that someone built, and I think in the article they mentioned that was actually built. These were all built by the son of, I think, the librarian or someone who teaches there.
Yeah, Jenna Bassett was the teacher. She's 72 years old, and I guess her son, his name was in here somewhere, had built most of these kits, if not all of them. And her son Cody Bassett constructed the sets over 30 years ago. So these were a history and memories from her, of him building these as a child. And they're part of the Lego Club, I guess, that she was hosting the Lego Club in his library for the last 10 years.
Hmm. And these are older sets. I mean, if he was doing this, you know, over 30 years ago, there's some really cool and valuable, I would imagine, sets that were there.
Yeah, and to me, I think it's probably more about just the sentimental value than the actual value of these things, because you can't replace them. I mean, they're saying that pieces were shattered, not just kits broken apart, but actual pieces of the kit were shattered.
Yeah. And I guess they had kind of put some stuff on in social media trying to get a response from the folks over at Lego on this. And I guess they really hadn't gotten much of a response. I mean, the unfortunate thing is that if they're older sets, it's not like Lego holds on to copies of their older sets.
Right.
They're in the business to sell stuff. You know, if there's anything in there that's more current, I'm sure they might be willing to, you know, maybe kick a few boxes over to the school. But the older stuff is really kind of irreplaceable. I mean, otherwise you're, again, going over to eBay. Or, you know, you're going to a con, or you're going to any kind of known dealers that sell this stuff.
Right. Even then, it still won't be the same for, you know, this teacher, because there were history of her, you know, memories of her son building these kits.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't expect Lego to do a lot for something like this, but it'd be nice if they threw something to the club.
Yeah.
You know, current stuff maybe, but.
Yeah.
That's very sad.
And I mean, to be honest, Lego kits that are 30 years old, I mean, that's, I think, probably almost regarded as vintage.
Yeah.
When it comes to Lego, you know, I mean, that's, there's some age on those sets. You know, those are original trilogy sets. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's too bad. I'm very sorry to hear that, but.
Yeah.
Bad things do happen.
And as the article mentions, the vandals are still at large. I don't know that they're necessarily going to be going around smashing other Lego sets. I'm sure their target was more associated with the school itself, and it's an unfortunate thing.
It is. So, Tim, have you ever looked at your keyboard and your computer and thought, God, I wish I had a set of phonetic letters on here I couldn't understand?
No. No.
Really?
Nope.
Because I have. I'm like, you know, these, you know, A and S and D, they're just too easy to understand. I want something more challenging.
See, I, like, just before recording here, I came from one of my improv classes, and the very first thing we were taught was to always say yes and. You know, so you're playing off the other person and stuff, but I can't, Lou. I just simply can't say that I want a keyboard that...
Tim, I'm going to have a talk with your improv instructor and say, Tim is not embracing what you're teaching.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Tim, it's too bad you didn't say yes, Anne, because we could have had a whole story about this new, you know, keyboard with, you know, Arabesh letters.
Oh, well, too bad. We'll just skip it then. Yeah, there's a company that is putting out actually a couple different versions of an Arabesh keyboard. One is just solely Arabesh, just like you have English or maybe whatever other language on your keyboard. There's another one that it is Arabesh, but it's kind of like subtitled in English, you know, so like the W key has the Arabesh character with a small W below it, so you know what you're typing. And these are, it's not like a laptop keyboard. In fact, these aren't even keyboard. These are keyboard caps.
Really? Oh, so you can't even buy a whole keyboard. Oh, that's kind of a bummer.
So you would have to have a, like, what's a, you know, standard now wireless or USB keyboard, and you would have to replace the keys on it with these. And a set goes for $250.
Wow, and that's just for the caps themselves, not the, like, the actual keyboard?
Correct.
Oh my God, that's just seems a bit much. I mean,
yeah, that's a little bonkers.
I mean, as a hardcore collector, I can see maybe if he had some extra cash one year, pony up $250 for a whole keyboard.
Yeah.
But to buy the keys and to build it yourself,
yeah,
and hope you get a keyboard where the keys all match up.
You know,
sometimes, you know, the enter key is bigger, or this key is different shaped.
Exactly. Exactly.
It does look pretty cool, though. I mean, the all the command keys, like, you know, the tab, the caps lock, the shift keys are all red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the escape key is the Imperial Cog, and the enter key is a lightsaber. It's really cool looking, but $250 just for the actual keys themselves.
Yeah, that's
wow.
A bet.
That's a high price. Oh boy. Now, Tim, you had a bit of a rant you wanted to go over today, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Are we going to turn this over to you and let you rant for a bit?
All right. So, several days ago, there was something that had actually it started out on social media. So basically this whole thing began on Twitter from someone tweeting out that they overheard an exchange. They were on an airplane. They overheard an exchange between a flight attendant and a passenger. And the passenger had an infant. And so the flight attendant asked the passenger, what's her name? And the passenger responded, Leia. The flight attendant's response was then, oh, like Princess Leia. The passenger responds, no, like General Leia.
You know, I saw this tweet when it had, or somebody had retweeted it, and I kind of saw them. Oh, I chuckled. I was like, that's kind of fun. And that's where I left it.
Here's my take on it. Leia is Leia. If you're that hung up on the title, princess, general, whatever her title is, and I understand that some people may think, oh, okay, well, hey, general is like more empowering or something like that. Well, a title of royalty is also still pretty significant. And regardless of what title Leia went by, she's still the same person. She's still the same character. Mm-hmm. She still had the same strengths and attitude and demeanor about her. And unless it's somewhere canonical that I'm not aware of, she's still actually princess. Unless she renounced her title, and whether or not Alderaan exists, she should still hold the title of princess of Alderaan. So there's that issue with it. But the thing that really gets me, reflecting on Family Guy, the thing that grinds my gears in this is that this kind of attitude, you know, maybe the flight attendant wasn't a big Star Wars fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that most of the populace is more familiar with Leia by her title of princess than they are general.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Considering how long that character's been around. And really what this amounts to is, particularly in a casual conversation like this, you're being an asshat and you're being a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to is, you know, there's no reason to be a jerk about it. And this really is gatekeeping. And, you know, someone may think, oh, well, we're doing this to empower women, or we're doing this for representation or something like that. You're not actually. You're just acting like a jerk for the sake of acting like a jerk. You know, if hey, maybe the title of general for Leia is what resonates more with you. That's cool. I totally get that. But to some stranger in casual conversation, it's not worth being a jerk about. Right. And it's that kind of response, I think, that gives folks who are kind of on the outside of the Star Wars fandom a bad taste about the people who are in the Star Wars fandom. I really was not happy with it at all.
I mean, I would have liked to have seen a video of how this played out on the plate, you know, what the nonverbal cues were in this conversation. You know, was she really being a jerk about saying no, like, you know, General Leia, you know, or was she saying, like, General Leia was almost a play off on, you know, hey, you know, she's a strong general now, not just a princess. So at first when I read this, I kind of chuckled, like, oh, okay, that's kind of cute, you know, that she corrected her on this and she is a general now. And I also chuckled at myself because I'm like, yeah, if somebody said to me that their child's name was Leia, the first thing in my mind would have been, oh, Princess Leia. You know, not generally, because right. That's what I resonate with. It's not that I think she's a cute little princess as opposed to a strong general. That's not what I'm saying. It's just, like you said before, we've had Princess Leia for 30 years before we got anything else. So, of course, in my mind, it's Princess Leia. Yeah. I mean, that's just what comes to mind. It's, you know, when you hear Leia, I think of princess. I don't think of general. Not that she's not a strong general. She is, but
yeah,
this is what we think of first.
And this person who originally tweeted this, a couple days later, they basically followed up to it with, I guess, kind of summarizing a lot of the responses that they had gotten on social media to this. And they say, this is classic. Replies from women are, yes, we prefer to be thought of as leaders, not princesses. Replies from men are, quote, you're wrong, not to be pedantic, but, and, quote, Leia will always be a princess to me. And she says, this is why we want to be generals, gentlemen. Certainly, if someone's saying you're wrong, well, I think that there is a counterpoint to that. I mean, for someone to simply tell you that you're wrong about that, I don't like that either. What I'm saying is wrong is simply that approach. That, I mean, socially, and if someone prefers the title of princess over general, let them do what they will. I don't think that using the title of princess diminishes a character's strength.
Right. It's not a derogatory term.
No.
You know,
I've heard it used as a derogatory term.
Right, but not in this case. I mean,
yeah.
Calling some, you know, saying Princess Leia is not putting Leia down. I wouldn't think it's what she was to us.
Yeah, and that's the title that she went by for a long time. And I mean, how look at the characterization of Leia from the very first Star Wars movie when she was a princess. And she didn't need rescuing. You know, she rescued the rescuers.
Right.
And she immediately was characterized as a strong character. And this is as a princess. And I didn't see any difference between her characterization then versus her characterization using the title general. Leia's Leia. So, yeah, I'm ticked off about this perspective of it, of someone really just being a jerk and really gatekeeping.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and is very likely the same kind of person who would be complaining about gatekeeping. Yet this probably is what they're doing.
Yep. Hey, you know, there was another in this article from Time you had posted there. There's another, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but, you know, they were making a point of laying out kind of, you know, princess versus general, and I'm not going to go into that part, but the princess part, I think is fantastic, because he goes through, you know, what Princess Leia did was, like, delivered the Death Star plans, you know, escape from the Death Star, killed a bunch of stormtroopers, coordinated the destruction of two Death Stars, destroyed the shield generator. I mean, she was a commando, right, on Endor. I mean, that was her. I mean, it was great. I'm not saying that it's better than the general, but it's a regression. It's just what we think of her as, because that was her first title we knew her as.
Yeah.
You know, if we met her as a princess and she was a princess for 5 minutes and then for the rest of the first three movies she was something else, lieutenant or commander or captain or whatever,
mm-hmm.
You'd think of her as a military person, but you don't, because she went by that title for so long.
Yeah.
And it's not a derogatory term. It's not saying how anything that's making her weak. She was a very, very strong, hands-on princess.
Yeah. And there's another response here from someone who I think is female, saying that I hate that it's cool to bash the idea of princesses over generals. Like, women are only leaders if they reject the feminine. Like, being a woman is only powerful if you try to be more like a man. Princess Leia was as much of a leader as General Leia. And I mean, that's really what I was trying to say. It's the same person. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter what title you put on her. It's still the same person. She's still a strong, kick-ass character. So, you know, it just – and I mean, maybe this is a person who's stuck on the – well, the name princess means is oftentimes associated with the whole damsel in distress thing, or – you know, maybe all people think of when it comes to Princess Leia is a slave Leia outfit, which then again is a entirely different discussion of its own. I mean, you can put two women standing together and ask them what they think about the slave Leia thing. And one of them is going to say, oh, it's a sexist derogatory thing. And the other one's going to say it was insanely empowering. So, I mean, there's a lot of perspectives about the portrayals of Leia through the series.
Right.
And I get that, but still Leia is Leia. It doesn't matter how you cut it. She's a princess and she's a general. Live with it.
Yeah, I agree, Tim. I agree 100%. Okay, well, that does bring us to the end of this episode, unless you have anything else you want to add in last minute, Tim.
I do not.
Okay, so at this point here, we're going to close the doors to Echo Base. If anybody has any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you guys. The best way to reach us is sending an email to echobase@randomchatter.com. You can also find us online. We are on Twitter at ForceChatter, at Random Chatter. And Tim, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Qui-Gon Tim, that's Tim with two M's.
And you can find me on Twitter at Luce Skywalker, that's Skywalker without the E. We also have an Instagram channel for both Random Chatter and for Force Chatter. So those are both out there. You can also find me on Instagram. I do have a Star Wars toy fetish, which I'll be hoping taking more pictures of that. My space walls came in. Yay! I've said 6-inch hero.
Terrific.
You can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com.
We certainly appreciate you spreading the word and supporting us. You can leave reviews in a lot of the places that you find us, places like iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn. Fingers crossed, we are putting in to have, I think, every show across the network on Pandora. Pandora now hosts podcasts.
Sweet.
So, yeah, we have the application in hand and we just need to fill out the paperwork for it. They are not letting everyone in. It's still very early right now. They're kind of like barely past beta on it. But what's really cool is you'll be able to actually create a playlist of podcasts or maybe podcasts and music. I think that might work. So that'd be pretty cool.
That sounds cool.
But certainly we appreciate you leaving reviews, click on all the stars, take a moment to write in a sentence or two, tell people, and tell us why you like us. But it's really to tell the folks out there who might be looking for a new Star Wars podcast or maybe their first Star Wars podcast. And if they, as they're looking through all the reviews, they might want to read some things about why they should listen to us. Certainly tell your friends about us. Word of mouth is a great thing. And that's really what gets a lot of people oriented towards podcast. You can join our Discord community, which you can find at randomchatter.com/discord. You can actually get into part of it for free. We have a public lobby and all of our show channels. There's a show channel for Echo Base, which you can get into and participate in with us, with other hosts across the network and a lot of other listeners. You can also get full access to our Discord if you support us through Patreon. So if you go to randomchatter.com/Patreon, just $1 a month will get you full access to our Discord community. And we have different channels in there for a variety of different topics. And of course, we appreciate more of a contribution as well. And for everything you give to us, we also give back to you. So we do some bonus content. We do some Patreon exclusive. We have a Patreon exclusive show that Eric and I do. And there's a lot of fun stuff there. It's a great community.
Awesome. The music you hear in this podcast is The Imperial March by Cell Dweller. And that is the end of the episode. We're going to close the blast doors and come at you in about a week. It's a drop.